You are listening to A Casual Stroll to Mordor, a hardcore look at LOTRO from a casual point of view. A Casual Stroll to Mordor is brought to you by Typefrag.com. Use the code 2MORDOR on checkout and get 25% off your first month. We're also brought to you by Doghouse Systems. Use the code 2MORDOR on checkout and get a $25 gift certificate to Jinx.com.
Hey everybody, if you're listening right now on the podcast or if you're in the live chat, this is Andang here on a new type of episode on A Casual Stroll to Mordor. It's going to be kind of like a round table and it's called Update Talks. This episode of Update Talks will be focusing on a newly released Update 7. Joining me are some experts. There's Miss Golden Star.
Hello!
Mr. Merrick.
Good evening.
And Mr. Pineleaf.
Good evening, everyone.
Alright, so Pineleaf, if you want to give us a quick overview of the new skirmish real quick, just what it is.
The new skirmish is set in Dunland on Mount Menethras, which is just off of Orthanc. In fact, you could see Orthanc from one part of the skirmish. It is a madhouse in a way. There's very high mob density in there. And you tend to fight your counterattacks near the next group. So things could get very frantic in this skirmish.
I would agree. They can get very frantic. Do you think that the fact that it starts at level 20, that gives spoilers to people?
It gives a bit of a spoiler. I know some people who don't want to do that skirmish until they get up higher. Because it tells you part of a story arc that you do not normally get until you're around mid-60s, I would say, when you get into Innenwythe.
Also, I think that players could get really confused because of the fact that, you know, they're used to stuff around their area, and all of a sudden they're flung over to this other side of the world where they haven't been in and really don't have any right to be in. I think it's just a really weird thing.
There is one more little thing, and that is a bug in the skirmish where no loot drops until you're level 75.
I did not know that. That makes it even more strange that it's at level 20. Also, do you think the length is too short? Because I got through it pretty quick. It's probably the fastest skirmish.
It's short, but it's a very frantic time that you're having. Therefore, I think the frantic nature compensates for the shortness in the time.
Alright, yeah, I would agree with that. The mob density, it also makes it really easy if you have, I guess a way of putting it would be the wrong kind of soldier. You have to kind of watch where he is when the next round comes.
That's why I prefer archers.
Archers are really nice until you get a mini. Makes it kind of hard sometimes. Do you have anything else to add that you'd like to include on skirmishes, Pineman?
The other thing is that the skirmish, if you do all the encounter deeds in all the skirmishes, you unlock a new meta deed, which is one incentive you may have to actually do this skirmish before you hit the late 70s. The deed gives you a new title, Skirmisher of Middle Earth, as well as an emote, Bring It On.
And that emote's a lot of fun, partly because of its exclusiveness, and then it's just a really awesome looking emote. Yeah, I'm kind of a title junkie myself. I like to get a ton of them.
Well, this title is a natural for me.
Yeah, I bet you didn't have to try very hard on that one. If you have anything to add on skirmishes, feel free to put it in the chat. And if you want to get unmuted to add something on the skirmishes, feel free to mention that too.
Yeah, someone mentioned about pulling carefully at each gate. Yes, that is highly recommended.
Yeah, I know a lot of groups that fail because there's one character or one player that'll not watch where his soldier is, and he'll pull not only the next round of attackers that's coming through, but also the people in the next room. And it can get really hard when you don't want your soldier.
The Grey Company also, in that matter, since they're melee types, if you have a ranged opponent come in, they start tossing things at you, and if they ever get on the top of the aggro list of one of the Grey Company or of a melee soldier, you can imagine they are going to go right into that person and probably aggro half the group, next group.
Yeah, but they're a ranger that can handle it.
To an extent, yes. But I've known them to go a little bit over their heads on occasion.
Yeah, I know one time a healer forgot to heal the rangers, and we failed it just because they forgot to heal because the rangers had aggro.
Yes, that's one way to fail the skirmish. Now, if you are solo, I recommend standing a little bit behind the rangers to try to get the opponents to come to as close to you as possible. If you're in a raid or some other large group, I recommend you standing a little bit more forward. That way, the rangers stay out of the fight as much as possible. The mob density relative to the size of the group drops as the group size gets larger, which indicates that the developers are expecting you to stand more forward and maybe fight mobs in the next area when you're in larger groups.
That's a good point. I agree with that. It does seem to be that way.
Another thing about raids is I've noticed that the loot bug I talked about earlier does not exist in raids, only in smaller ones.
So it is a bug, though. Turbine's going to fix it, allegedly.
I hope so. I submitted a bug report, but it was only about a week, I think, before Bulwer went up with 7.1. Therefore, if it is a bug, as I think it is, they might not have had time in which to fix it before 7.1 was issued. And I did test it today.
All right, so that means it's not been updated yet, probably. All right, do we have anything else to add on skirmishes?
Oh, yes, the encounters. The encounters are, in a way, like lieutenants, more like regular encounters. They are signatures. They come as part, actually, a little bit after the third wave of a counterattack, and their abilities tend to match the abilities of lieutenants that you find. For example, one is a giant that has the same shield as a Daywalker Berserker. One person reported that one of the encounters has an ability just like that of the Brood Queen, which some people consider to be quite an insult considering that Brood Queen doesn't pop up in most when you do a high-level skirmish.
Yeah, I found it weird that you can't really skip the encounters either.
True, but since they're similar to lieutenants, it doesn't matter that you can't skip them.
Yeah, I guess it's just like an extra perk that you get for, this skirmish is really fast-paced, and they seem to be combining as much as they can to really make it be a quick one that still gets you enough rewards, I guess, if you're at camp.
There's one more thing about the encounters. There was a bug that caused you not to earn marks for the second encounter. That was fixed today.
Well, that's good that they seem to be fixing stuff. I was surprised at how much stuff the new update's fixing, but we're not going to get into that. Do we have anything else on skirmishes?
Not that I can see.
Alright, then let's move on to LI changes. The new LIs, they are becoming more complicated with Starlight Crystals. They improve your character's tactical rating, shield rating, and DPS. And from what I've seen, they're just small little buffs, which make them seem more optional than a grind like relics and the other stuff. Does anybody have anything to counter that? Alright, Have any of the experts actually used the new LI stuff? Have you got any crystals or anything?
I have one that dropped in a skirmish once.
Yeah, that's another thing. They seem to only be... Well, they're dropped from raids as well, but they seem to only be dropped from mostly skirmishes. I found that this update seems to be very skirmish-focused as far as new content goes anyway. Supposedly, you can also upgrade each of these. They're supposed to have three tiers. And so with those three tiers, they're supposed to get stronger. But from what I've seen on the forums, even on tier 3, the stats reported are not that much different than your normal stats. Even though that they're a rare drop, they seem to be an optional drop and not really a drop that's going to be a grind. They seem to be a nice little perk that you get from your character, and it's not really required. It does seem to add a little bit of complexity, and I know a lot of people are worried about the complexness of LIs already, and that really needs to be fixed, and this was like the last thing people wanted, was to make it more complex. As far as I can see though, it seems to be optional, and so I don't see many people worrying about it too much. They're worrying about it, but they don't really need to be worrying about it, at least in my opinion. Does anybody have any comments on LIs? Is it really pretty new to everybody? Has nobody really focused on looking at it too
much? I guess my only input would be, it seems strange that they're making a system more complex that they just spent a bunch of time trying to simplify or make more mainstream. So I find that interesting, just personally.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely did not see this one coming. It was very much a surprise, and I think that's pretty much what everybody else would agree with, is a surprise change. I really don't know why they did it. I know that they had just made it simplified. That it just seems very strange. Alright, so if that's everything that everybody has to add on LI changes, I know that they're not too complicated, or they're not too popular among everybody, and that they're really complicated for a lot of people. Alright, let's go on to Moria changes. I'm going to start with Golden Star on this one. Start us off on the lighting changes to Moria.
The lighting changes, from what I saw, are pretty subtle, and it's a general lightening up. I think what I like even more than the lightening up is the clearing off of most of the pathway, so you can travel through Moria without being attacked by 80 bazillion mobs.
Yeah, I agree with you. Especially now that they're giving you a mount with low health, it's really nice to be actually able to use that low mount health, the mount with low health, in the area now that they've cleared off some of the main pathways.
Yeah, I've got one of those Mirkwood Adventure Pack mounts, the Dusky Nimblefoot or whatever. It's got like 60 health or something ridiculous. It was nice to have, but at the same time, it was still just frustrating to try to get through Moria, because anything just looked at me menacingly, I would fall off that stupid goat.
Yeah, that was probably my biggest pet peeve with Moria, was just the mob density. Especially on the main paths, you couldn't get anywhere without being dismounted. I mean, I know some hardcore players are mad because, you know, it's supposed to be a dungeon and we're not supposed to be able to ride through it and blah, 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 but I mean, honestly, I think that it's nice to have main paths cleared.
Now, I know that Bri was saying that there was changes to the quests and stuff. Now, in my time of running through Moria, I've always run through it at, like, breakneck speed. I've only done it completely with Golden Star. Maybe my runekeepers went through it, but I didn't know enough about the quests to speak to that. All I know is the lighting wasn't that big a deal. Everybody was freaking out that it should be dark, it should be dank, it's you know, a cavern, blah, blah, blah. But it just made it look a little brighter. It was subtle enough that I could see, but I couldn't, I'll still fall off cliffs just fine.
Yeah, I think they did a good job of making just the really, really dark areas a little bit brighter. And I think they knew that they'd have people not want it to be brighter, and so they were very careful with what they did.
I think a lot of people, especially from our comments, said that they would get to Moria and they would purposely shoot up their game's gamma just so they could see. Now you don't have to do that. You can just leave it.
Yeah, I know I'd have to mess with my gamma. It was not fun having to switch it back all the time, especially once you exiled Ocho and you forgot to mess with your lighting on your computer.
Zingar in the chat room was saying that they added the free slow goat at the beginning of Moria for free to play who wouldn't have been able to afford the Thorin's goat. I still don't have Thorin's goat in Moria because I have no reputation in Moria because I just ran through it as fast as I could because when I came back to play Lotro, Mirkwood was coming out and so I was zooming through Moria just to get to Mirkwood. I still don't have that goat.
I know I ground for that on both my characters actually that I have taken through Moria. I've purposely gone out of my way all the way to Thorin's Hall just to get that goat so I could actually get through Moria alive.
My burglar, I did it a little better. I got the Ale Association goat, so she has a good goat, luckily.
Am I the only one who went around Moria on foot instead of attempting to go around by a goat?
I guess so. I don't know. I mean, out of us four, I'm sure there's other people that did that as well. Do you think that you'll now ride on a goat?
Considering that it's only a plus 30% speed, I suspect I'll still forget to use the goat. Now, I do use a goat in the place between Chamber of Crossroads and 21st Hall, but just about everywhere else, I tend to go on foot.
All right. Because you don't own a goat, or you just don't want to use, you don't remember to use a goat, or?
I guess I'm not, just don't hop on a mount as readily as some other players do.
I noticed that about, I was collecting, doing the flower collection quest, and I think I was the only one that was actually just running around, like on foot. Everybody else was hopping on their mount, and then dropping off, and then hopping, I'm like, what a waste of time. I'm just going to keep running.
Yeah, I got to the point where I just went on foot, especially through the second half where it's, you really can't get through the second half anywhere without being dismounted. I mean, there are some shortcuts, but for the most part, the main paths are completely filled up with mobs. And so, that brings us to my next topic under Moria, is, are we glad about this update, and do we want the second half updated?
Pleased with it as far as I can see. I'm still in Moria with my burglar and my dumb group, and I haven't really noticed it being like, oh, this is totally ruined. It still feels exactly like Moria to me. I think it's fine, and I'm good for more.
I think Moria needed to be touched up. It's a huge space, and it just there was too much that was, you know, like, oh, skip this because it's too difficult, or skip this because it's a waste of time, or this one leads you halfway across the zone. Yeah, I'll save it for later. And then you end up with situations where you're either overleveled or underleveled. So I think it was a good thing to touch on. You know, they've done a lot of things differently since Moria, so I'm glad to see that getting a look-see because it's such a huge space and so many people want to utilize it that it needs attention. So.
Yeah, I know it was probably one of the, if not the most demanded zone to be revamped by a lot of players. Also, I did do some questing in Moria and I found that I was not running around near as much. And if I did need to run around, the path would be cleared for me to run around. So it seemed to go a lot quicker and I didn't have to fight through a bunch of mobs just to get anywhere.
I've only had a chance to bring my captain through so far and only through Dolvin View. So I'm still trying to see. I noticed that Dolvin View is a little bit different than before and it seems to go on a steady path, but that goblin camp that you go into that's next to Dolvin View is just as annoying as ever, if not more so.
Good to know.
Yeah, that goblin camp can be pretty brutal, especially I usually overlevel before I get into Moria so that I can get through that pretty quick. Does anybody have anything left that they want to mention on Moria?
Pelador in the chat is saying that he wished that they had revamped Troll Shawls or North Downs first. I think that Moria was a good choice because Moria is your only option for that range, right? Like that 50 to 60-ish grind. I suppose you could like struggle it out somewhere else, but that's the only area that's designed for that level range.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that the Troll Shots should probably be next on the list, as personal opinion. But I think Moria has to be first. You have to go through Moria to do anything beyond it, really. I mean, they've kind of opened it up a little bit more, but really you just have to go through that zone. And I think that made a lot of players angry. And I know a lot of players that stopped playing Lotro because of Moria.
I definitely want to see the rest of Moria done next. I would love the Foundation of Stones to be revamped.
Especially the Foundations of Stone. That's by far the most brutal one. I know they mean it to be, you know, the dungeon one, but going anywhere in that zone, you will get dismounted instantly, pretty much.
I'd like to see a little more swift travel options, too. There seems to be some that are just kind of not there for some reason.
Yeah, I agree with that. The swift travel does seem to be... I mean, part of it is that the traversal is so confusing in Moria. I think that's one of the reasons why there's not as much swift travel as there is in other zones. But there really needs to be when you have to fight through so many mobs. I know I would just go through a swift travel if that meant that I'd even have to take one less step. I mean, it would save me time. Alright, if that's all the stuff on Moria, I'm going to move on to Fornost. I don't know how much each of you have done it, but I did do Fornost for a very short amount of time. The problem is I never did it before, and so I don't know what to compare it to. But I do know it got split up into four different instances, and it's actually finishable now. I know a lot of people are not liking some of the loot changes. I know that they have been lowered from pretty much everything I've heard from everybody. That I group up with. So has anybody run Fornost since the update or before the update to know what to compare it to?
I have done the water area once since the update, and I do remember vague memories of the water area before the update. Also, back when I was playing a minstrel, which is a long time ago, and I just remember being in the water and constantly being silenced, and I had no clue as to why I was being silenced. In fact, I didn't figure it out until after the update from update 7, because that's what I finally figured out. It's the water that's silencing you, not the spirits.
That's funny.
Nevertheless, I did run it once after the update, a little bit under level. I was running it solo under level just to see what the space was like. And it felt much like it did in the past, where you are still looking for arrowheads on hobbit skeletons. You're fighting these spirits in the water, since it's the water area. You find a boss inside of a tower somewhere. And of course, you attempt to escort Sarah Oakheart as she becomes as annoying as she possibly can.
I'm going to ask this question for Gorfarth in the chat. How does water silence you?
I think that's an excellent point. How is the water actually silencing you? Is it stink so bad you can't breathe?
I don't know, but I've run into similar water in Angmar, where if you stand in the water, you're silenced. I don't know what the reason is, whether it's some evil in it or whatever. It's because the icon it shows is just a silence icon, as opposed to anything that says you are choking from stinking or something like that.
I did a Fornost so long ago. I am no use to this conversation. But it sounds like a couple folks in the chat have done the water ring on tier 1, and it seems like it's very similar to what it was, so it sounds like they just took what was there and kind of broke it up.
Yeah, I've heard that I've heard from the forums and friends that have run through it that that's what's happened, but I've heard a lot of people that have claimed that the loot is actually worse. I don't know how to confirm that or not.
Compared to how it was, or are they comparing like level 40 stuff to running at level 75? Like, what's the comparison?
Both, actually. I've heard both comparisons on the forums quite a bit.
Well, Bryant looks like he had a message right after we said that the first time that was changed today. So it could be that they fixed the loot errors in 7.1.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, that's good news.
Assuming that's what that was changed today meant.
I can bring up the today's show notes, patch notes, and see. Yeah, the notes for Forna say minor bug fixing to boss fights and trash pathing. Okart's flight now requires killing the two bosses to complete. Successfully completing Earthwing in challenge mode will now award seals. Adjusting currency drop weights as follows. Seals instances will give more seals per run on completing challenge. Medallions instance optional quests will substantially give more medallions per run. And marks reduce the amount of marks given from challenge modes around the amount given from a boss kill, given more of the entire instance combined was overkill. Did that come through?
Alright, so it sounds like that they did fix it in every part. That's very good news. Do we have anything left on Fornos before we start making stuff up?
I heard the water's full of wraith poo.
It's probably true. I bet they got that from a reliable source. Alright, so if nobody has anything else to add, we'll move on to the new requests. You can start them off of posts. There's glowing quest, glowing pieces of paper on posts, and if you right-clicked on that post, then you'll be able to get a new interesting side quest series of quests. It's a quick run-through, but it's a good story. Does anybody want to add anything without giving away too many spoilers?
Oh, I can't give away spoilers, but I'm out.
Alright, if you want to give away spoilers, you can give a spoiler alert, I guess.
Spoiler alert. Please jump ahead a couple minutes, because I'm going to gab on and on. Okay, there's baby turtles. Baby turtles everywhere, and it's adorable, and there's a house of baby turtles that I want to live in forever.
Alright. Yeah, I agree with you. They are very cute, and my sister would agree with you as well. She loves those baby turtles.
But there's one hobbit who doesn't.
Yeah, he was scared of the turtles. It was funny. And then he had like a room for turtles, and he didn't even want me to come near him with those turtles. But I thought the whole thing, like the whole time, because the story is you're gathering turtles for turtle soup, and I'm like, he is not going to turn all these baby turtles into turtle soup. I will be so upset if I don't get the chance to stop the turtle soup story.
Yeah, and I also thought it was interesting how they kind of, they also had, you know, the criminals doing stuff as well, or at least what we thought were criminals.
Yeah, that was trying to mislead you into thinking what they were doing, and then it turned out to be an innocent game.
And no baby turtles were harmed. It was adorable. I loved it.
Yeah, and now you can go and see a bunch of baby turtles in a house in Southern Bree.
Yeah, it's not very far from the cat lady's house either. I wonder if they're going to turn that hole into, like, a baby something animal area. Here's the crazy cat lady's house, and here's the crazy turtle dude's house.
Now we need the baby goat house.
Goats are kind of evil.
I want a baby goat.
I think Radagast is secretly behind this whole thing. It's going to end with a plot of Radagast trying to save all these animals in Bree houses and giving them houses and who knows what else.
At least the baby turtle house is pretty large. The cat lady's house is just like a room full of cats.
I was very surprised that, I mean, there's multiple rooms in this house. It's not just a small area like the cat lady's house.
I thought it was a little funny that the bill posters that he hired were all hobbits. Therefore, all the bills all throughout Bree are at hobbit height.
But yeah, I noticed. That's a good point. I didn't notice that until now.
I did notice that they were stinking everywhere. Like, I saw it and I was kind of like, eh. And I kept running and I'm just like, okay, I am running smack into these posters everywhere. I'm just going to click on it and see what the heck it is.
Yeah, I'm really glad that they added it in. I was surprised at how much story it had. I didn't expect it to be that involved on the story end. It was actually a pretty good story, which they haven't had that good of a story in the low-level areas as a side quest. There are some, I guess, but in general, I think. Also in Bree, there were two houses that were added on top of all the quest areas. The two houses, there's a rich house for a rich estate owner's house, and then there's also a poor house. To give us more of a inside look at Bree, they started this extensive inside look of places with Stangard, and it seems that they're expanding it into some of the earlier areas. And so, eventually, someday, we might be able to see all the low-level areas be as detailed as Stangard is.
Can we go into these houses? Like, what's...
Yeah, there's two new houses. They were there before, but now you can enter them. They're about the same area. They're just a little bit to the south of where the doors for the turtle quests are.
I'm gonna have to check that out. I didn't know that there was two new houses.
Yeah, there's not that much inside of them, but it is nice that they're starting to flesh out some of the interiors like they were with Stangard.
Well, that's great for a role player as well, to have more places to go in and meet and have fun and more atmospheres to throw parties at. Like, let's go play, have a party at the rich guy's house.
All right, after this is over, we can if you want. All right, if that's it on Bree stuff. Oh, wait, in the chat, a letter here says there should have been an explorer of Bree deed. I agree, there should be one for those. I'm surprised that they didn't add that in. Alright, if that's everything we have to say on Bree, then we'll move on to the new maps. Personally, I really like maps. I look in depth at them, not just in Lotro, but in real life. I have several historical battle maps around my house, and I love to look at maps. I love to study them. It's just one of the passions I have, I guess. With the new maps, there are three new maps that came with Update 7. There's the one to Talmathredes, where the new skirmish takes place. They added a map there, which I don't know if it's visible in the skirmish or not, but it is visible in the area where that takes place. And it's about time, honestly. I got lost a few times in this area. I don't know about anyone else. Did you guys get lost there?
I missed what you said. Where did you get lost at?
Talmathredes. It's in Dunland, the new mountain region there. They added a map to the main city there.
Oh, I didn't know it was missing.
I don't remember ever getting lost in that area. But it did lack details before.
I think anytime you add directions, it's a good thing. I mean, you can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, I was glad that they added in that map. And then also, the Area Door map and the Rovanian map got changed. The area door map was purely cosmetic. There wasn't anything really changed as far as content. I guess now would be a good time to mention that the maps finally all have color. I think they're moving towards finally coloring in the lines, adding in color to each part of the map, and really making them look good cosmetically.
I like the look of the new maps. I don't really have a problem with them. They're slightly like cleaner versions of what we used to have. I know a lot of people like the old look of the old map where it's like coffee stained and such, but I really don't have a problem with the new maps whatsoever.
Yeah, I'm liking the direction that they're going. They seem to be inviting, and honestly, for a new player, I think in general new players would rather have these new maps that have more color than they would the more duller maps, in my opinion anyway. One thing that I thought interesting was, I'm moving on to solely talking about the Rovan in map. One of the things I thought was interesting on it was, first of all, it now shows Fangorn, which is going to be one of the new zones in Riders of Rohan, but it doesn't actually show Rohan on there. I thought it was interesting that they just chose east and west there and didn't put Rohan anywhere on the map.
Rohan's too big to call one zone.
Yeah, but on the old, I realized that on the old map though, they had, you know, Rohan written in really big red letters over those two areas. And then they were going to split it up into the other two smaller ones, I guess. So I guess it would be more like a Dunland thing, where when you click on Dunland, you get Isengard, and then you also get the Gap of Rohan, and you get Dunland proper, obviously. And so I expected them to do something closer to that, as opposed to on the main map, splitting up that way.
This is interesting, because when we get all of Rohan, won't we just get all of Rohan? Why? I guess it's confusing why it would be split up in the map view.
Actually, in their release notes for Riders of Rohan, they mentioned that we're just getting the east side of Rohan, Fangorn, and the Wold. We're getting those three zones with this update, or with Riders of Rohan, I mean. And so that'll give us those three zones. And then what will be weird though is, for, I don't think that they'll do another expansion, because really all that's left over there would be Western Rohan. And so I'm expecting Western Rohan to be just in a zone update, not in an actual expansion, because there's really no other zones by there that would make sense for a full expansion.
I remember you saying that now, so I guess it makes sense that it's split up. I'm curious if they will split up Rohan into two expansions, but they're calling this Riders of Rohan, so I don't know, it's going to be interesting. Elodie here in the chat saying that it's going to be releasing two expansions from what he remembers seeing on the forums.
As if the forums are 100% accurate.
Yeah. What were you going to say earlier, Pine Leaf?
I was saying that there is the possibility of Helm's Deep being on with whoever the West, so Helm's Deep could turn into a very big area just by its own right.
That's a good point. And then they just need, well, I guess they wouldn't have to have another area. They might even do a mini expansion. I'm, you know, it's not really sure. They did a mini Mirkwood, so you never know.
Well, yeah, I was figuring, I mean, they could do a mini expansion like Mirkwood, or they could just do like they did with the Great River and release it in chunks.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they move forward with Rohan. Also on the map, Wilderland was on there, and then Ruinland was on there. I don't expect them to go to either of those anytime soon. But what was interesting was Gladden Fields was on the map. That's where Isildur loses the ring. And I thought that was or no, it's where you know, the ring gets turned up. I thought that was really interesting.
Maybe we'll get a skirmish that's set somewhere out away in the Hobbit lands, out in Wilderland to commemorate the Hobbit without actually taking us there.
Yeah, that'd be a really cool way to do it. I think that'd be a way to do it without breaking the lore too much, would be doing it that way. Also, we can probably expect that they'll do like a Mount Doom skirmish and then give it to level 20s and see how that works based off their recent update. That's more of a joke than anything else. Alright, does anybody have anything to add for maps?
I just like the change in general. I think it's a good thing. I mean, it shows attention to detail. I mean, they're just trying to keep things updated. So.
Yeah, and this update seems to be just a general improvement to Lotro, which I'm glad that they went into that. We'll get more into that later. Alright, if nobody has anything to add on maps, I'm going to move on to Audacity. Audacity got power changes. What it did basically was, before the changes, Audacity, it extended the combat, but players still had the same, I mean, players had power loss before the update to where they didn't have enough power before, and it got really bad with Audacity. Players really didn't have anywhere near as much power. So what they did with Update 7 was they added in power for all the players. They added in to give them some boosts. A lot of players still are complaining about the cost of Audacity. I think it's finally being warranted with this update, but I was surprised that they didn't. I'm expecting someday that they're going to split Audacity up into two different skills, because it's just a long grind to get to that 600 commendations, or 6,000 commendations that you need. It's just a really long grind. Do you guys have any comments on Audacity Power?
I just want to ask a question. Can you explain again to me, to the Moors Deficient, what exactly Audacity does? Like, why do you have to buy it? I thought it was some sort of, just like a stat change.
Right. What Audacity does is it basically extends combat. I don't have the exact stats in front of me right now because I wasn't prepared for this, but basically it extends the combat, and this was needed because it was really getting too quick in the moors, and it just increases the survivability of low players. That's one of the main reasons that they changed it. If you create a creep, you automatically get Audacity right out of the bat. If you have a Freep, then you get Audacity once you're at 40, I believe. You get your first rank, and then you can buy the rest through gear. Creeps buy it like skills. It's a normal skill increase. And so basically it would extend the fight, and players would not have enough power to get through it. And so really it would just be who had the most power to begin with. It wouldn't matter about your damage or anything. It just became a power run, and that went away with this update.
Well, that sounds like a good thing.
Yeah, a lot of players were glad about this change, from what I've heard through my friends in the Moors. Yeah, Garforth is giving some stats for us. It reduces Audacity for everyone that wants stats. It reduces the CC duration, improves your attack output, and also reduces damage taken. The main change is the reduce of damage taken. That's the main thing that it does to extend the fights longer. Alright, if nobody has anything left on Audacity, then I guess we'll move on to the sixth bag pre-order that we can get. The ability for the sixth bag to be used was put into this update. We actually can't use them yet though, and basically the reason, or maybe the excuse that Turbine gave for why we couldn't have a sixth bag, was because of lag issues, and I think that was a very good point. But they said that they had been working hard and they resolved these issues and think that a six bag can be implemented. And so, really, they added the ability to, but it won't be unlocked unless you pre-order Riders of Rohan.
How does a six bag affect lag?
Because every player will have more items that they're carrying around with them, and I guess the way that Turbine set it up, that would increase lag. It was either in a dev diary or a forum post from Sapiens where I read that. I don't remember which of the two.
I think it's when you move from one subzone to another subzone, where when you move from one to the other, they have to send your data to the subserver that's handling the next area, and that subserver then, with all those transfers, it increases the amount of time in which to do that, which increases lag. At least that's the impression I've been getting from forum posts.
So it sounds like a loading thing, like the loading from one server to the next. So you're adding in more bags, which adds more junk to load.
Yep.
Right.
And that will actually cause other players to lag out a little bit more, because it will put weight on the server for that transfer, and it won't be able to be used for other things.
What I find interesting about it, first of all, it's a great teaser. It's a great teaser whether it was intended to be or not. It definitely is a great teaser. I have several thoughts on it. First thing is, I find it interesting that they kept the backpack system and extended it rather than replacing it like they did with the vault system. I also wonder if this is going to be like the one thing that you get, you know, if you pre-order. Like, everybody got the 10% experience increase stone, whatever it's called, in the last one. So I'm wondering if this is like the pre-order thing for the next one. Of course, I'm sure that no matter what, you're going to be able to buy it in the store, but at the same time, it's going to be interesting to see what else is offered. As far as I go, though, I don't know if it's enough to make me pre-order without seeing what else is being offered.
As far as pre-order items go, I'm guessing that they're going to do a custom mount that'll be a combat mount. I'm almost certain that they'll have some kind of custom combat mount for players to have. Beyond that, I really don't know what they might add in.
There's typically a title also, isn't there?
Yeah, if you're really into titles, there are usually titles with every expansion pre-order. I know Mirkwood had them. I don't remember on Moria, though, if it had one or not. Alright, and then one of the things that I thought was interesting is with Rise of Isengard, you notice that the expansion cost more than previous did. To get everything, it's a lot more expensive than it was for the previous expansions. And what I've come to theorize, I guess would be a way to put it, is that Turbine won't increase the cost of something that they've put on the store already, but they'll make up for it by learning from their mistakes and making the next thing of that type be more expensive. And I think the fourth and fifth bags were more popular than they expected, and so my question is, do you think that the price will be the same for the sixth bag, or do you think it'll be more?
It's hard to know.
I'm being an optimist, and I'm going to say they can't have all of the bags 3 through 5 the same price, and then six bag is magically more money. Like, why? It has the same amount of, you know, space as the other three. Why would it cost more?
Well, they do increase the price of, like, vault and stuff as they go along, so I could see that being the case.
They would probably update bag 5 then's price, and that would cause a lot of issues. Because it'd be kind of odd, like Golden Star said, for 4 and 5 to be the same price, and then magically 6 goes up. Otherwise, that just doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, But at the same time, I know that they're in it for money. I mean, I agree with you. It wouldn't make sense. But I'm looking at what they did with the Rise of Isengard expansion and how marked up it is compared to the other ones, and that's just my thought on that.
Well, they shouldn't need to increase the price, because if they're already going to get a mass amount of money because of the sheer projections of how many people are expecting this thing.
Yeah, but if they're worried about lag issues, I can also see them wanting to keep demand as low as possible.
That's a good point about the lag issues. I didn't even think about that being factored into the cost. Yeah. Alright, that was a good talk on price. So basically, I think the conclusion was we don't really have a consensus. And then my next question will be, do you guys think that there will be a seventh bag someday? Or any other kind of paid increases now that they've finally added a sixth bag after so long?
I think that I would like the option to expand my bags, if anything else. Just, you know, maybe make my bags bigger with an expansion instead of adding more and more boxes I gotta open.
I'd rather it be like the vault, actually, like a miniature vault that you have that is, you know, just one big bag that you can kind of organize however you want to, and you know can be expanded through, purchases, pre-orders, whatever. I think that the system that they have, they must be entrenched just incredibly deeply into the system for them not to change it, because it seems like of what they have come with, what they've come up with as far as the vault system and the wardrobe is really nice. And it seems crazy that they didn't change it over to that system like they have every other piece of storage, and just kept it the way that it is. So I'd like to see them change it to that. I can't imagine having like 12 bags on my screen, and I don't think they will get that. It'll get that way. I mean, look how long it took them to get to six, but I'd like to see them change it up a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that they should definitely change it into the vault system. I think that's a great way of letting players organize their own content. And I mean, yeah, you have, you know, six bags now to make categories, I guess, but it's really nowhere near the same as the vault.
Merrick just likes the one bag setup. He always has.
That too.
I've been using Huge Bag for the last few months, so the number of bags that Turbine calls it is sort of moot to me.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. There are always the Lua alternatives.
Yeah, that's a really good point, I guess. But, I mean, at the same time, if players have to go to it's not really an outside thing, but a somewhat outside thing to do it, then I think that says something about the system.
I think the one thing they can't do is completely ignore it and not give us another increase for another 5 years, because every expansion, the store is constantly updating. There is constantly more and more junk that has to go in my bag. Now, granted, they have been doing really well with their wallet accepting more of my junk, but...
Careful, you're jumping off.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, wrong channel.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I was very...
You're in the middle of a good rant.
Let Golden Star rant. Come on.
Please continue. Forgive me.
It's just a joke. It's okay. You know, I'm just saying that they can't just say... they're good for another 5 years or something. They keep giving me more junk to put in my bags, and I need to have the space to put that junk in there. I mean, every time there's an expansion, I go there and I find more stuff. And more wardrobe. I always need more wardrobe.
I'm out of it, too.
One thing I thought interesting, though, was how close it was to the premium wallet. I mean, the premium wallet just came up not that long ago, and all of a sudden they're giving us a six-pack as well. It seems like all of a sudden they realized, oh, players really don't have anywhere what they need to, and they've really been focusing on it, I think, recently.
I'm with Zengar. I don't know if I would pre-order, because last time for Isengard, I got the Legendary Edition, and that was just way so much stuff that I don't have room for. So here's 15 clothing items. Good luck finding a place for that.
Yeah, I definitely have to clear out space for my alts when the next expansion comes out, because I know that they're gonna just fill our bags up. Luckily, we have a six bag to put it in now. But, I mean, you know, I'm sure they're gonna have plenty of stuff for pre-order. They just teased this one early because it's part of the implementation in this update. What I'm interesting though is if behind the scenes that they might be testing some of the lag issues by maybe filling up everybody's bag through coding to maybe test and see, to make it kind of a test run to see how the lag would work, because I know a lot of players have reported increased lag and maybe the bag was the reason why. Alright, if that's everything on bags, I'll move into my final couple of questions I have. Alright, I got this topic from Imperius that I was talking to earlier. We were talking on TeamSpeak for a while about LOTRO and how the updates just keep coming. And so my question is LOTRO expanding too quickly? I know that they just had Update 6. I know a lot of people haven't even got through Update 6, and then Update 7 came along. So that's my general question, is LOTRO expanding too quickly?
Well, with Update 7, they didn't really add anything. They just, refined stuff.
I would agree. This wasn't much of an expansion. It was just an update, basically, an upgrade to already existent stuff.
Yeah, it seemed that they're adding, one area and then expansion and then refining. If you look with Enidwaith, then they had, OD, the 12-man raid, and the clusters as, what's the word? Oh, I don't know, but you know what I mean.
I think the reason for the timing on Update 7 and coming so close to Update 6 has to do with the expansion preparations, because betas are held on Bull Roar, and we think that they're going to start revving up toward the expansion in June, and if they do that, Bull Roar won't be available for a while. So I think they wanted to get Update 7 out before Bull Roar had to be taken down to prepare for the expansion.
That's a good point. One of the other things that we were talking about, because, there's all these festivals on top of these content updates, and, I mean, there's, I haven't had as much time as I've wanted to get into these updates, and I know Update 6 went by pretty quick, and I still have probably half the quests left in the Great River Zone, because I've been focusing on all the events that they've been going on, from the anniversary to the Spring Festival that's starting, and I mean it's keeping busy.
I think that I haven't done Update 6 content yet myself. I still haven't gone to the Great River. I know, I'm pathetic. But it's getting nice outside in Michigan, and that means I get to go outside every once in a while, which is nice. But there's also people are saying that, they're playing Diablo 3 and they're trying other stuff that are coming out as well. And I've been doing festivals. That's pretty much what's been keeping me busy.
Yeah, Diablo 3 is a good point as well. I know a lot of people that are taken up by that. I know that a lot of people just play LOTRO, and I know a lot of people don't do the festivals, and so I can see how this would be a good idea for those people, but for people that do other stuff, it just seems like it's going past.
Free-to-play is still pretty new, so there's still a lot of new players in LOTRO, and there's a lot of great old content that people are just passing up trying to catch up to this new stuff. So, you know, they could slow it down a little bit, and then everybody could enjoy the game a little bit more, and maybe they wouldn't go to the other games.
Well, also, don't they have... They just had releases like Guild Wars 2, Diablo 3, so they might be trying to, you know, say, don't go there, come here, there's still stuff to do.
That's a good point. They might be doing that just to show that, you know, we're still updating the game, we have plenty of content. That's a good point. Alright, let's move on. What's your favorite part of the update? I'm just gonna go down the line here. Mine is the new skirmish. As fun as the Audacity changes are, I have to go with the new skirmish. I like to do skirmishes a lot. On to you, Golden Star, I guess.
Baby turtles. Baby turtles everywhere. I love it. Also, I like the new maps, but baby turtles mostly.
I like that they redid Fornost because it shows that they're still paying attention to the old stuff and they're revamping stuff. Same goes with Moria. So, but I like to see the dungeons because that's going to get more time out of me.
Go ahead, Pineley.
Yeah, I would say the Skirmisher of Middle Earth title, since that is so appropriate for me. And, of course, the new skirmish. So I do want to know, where is that rich and poor house you were talking about earlier? I can't find it anywhere in Bree.
It's right south, and a little bit to the west, I think, of where the turtle quests are.
I know there's one on the going up the stairway in the middle of Bree. Like if you
That's
just
the turtle.
From Turtle Jack. No, if you pass that and then continue up the stairs, you go to the birthday places. Or oops, sorry, spoiler alert. Go to their recipient's house.
Yeah, but there's actually two other houses. A rich person's house and then a poor person's house. They're to the south and to the west of there, I believe. If you want, Pineleaf, I'll show you after this.
Okay.
Alright, anyone else? It's now open to you guys. What's your favorite part about the update? Try not to talk over each other.
Okay, my favorite part is doing that Bring It On thing to Saruman, like right before we destroy his ring. And of course, spamming the emote.
Alright, if that's everybody. Now we're going to give it a letter grade. We're gonna go down the list, just like we did with the previous question. I'm gonna give this one a B plus. Well, first let me do the how it works. A plus is better than anything LOTRO's ever had as far as an update. F minus is the absolute worst update LOTRO's ever had. Everything in between is up to your discretion as to exactly where it is. I'm going to give it a B plus just because it doesn't add too much end content, but it does add something for everybody. And they players have been asking for a long time for them to go back and revamp a bunch of stuff, edit stuff, and I think overall this expansion accomplished what it wanted to do pretty well. On to Golden Star.
Oh, poop, I'm next. I give it an F minus. Because F minus is funny. I don't really give it an F minus. I just think F minus is funny. I agree. It's probably a B for me. It's like you said, there's a new skirmish, and they've scaled the Forna, so there's stuff for the 75s to do. The new skirmish is also level 20, and Fornas is level 40, so there's stuff for young folks to do. There's something brand new and brie for the really young to do. There's Moria changes for the folks in the middle. I think that it's got a little bit of something for everybody. It's a good update. It's a solid update. It's a B.
And Merrick?
I give it an A minus for the same thing. I think it's got a lot going for it. I think the only way it would have been, you know, A plus is if it was all brand new content, but I give it an A minus. Yeah, Golden Star is saying in the chat room that I grade on a curve, but I just want to say that I think it's a lot for what they did. So I give them an A minus.
Finally.
Since there are a couple of bugs with the skirmish, especially that loot bug, which means that while the skirmish is playable down to level 20, from the loot point of view, it's rather useless for them. I would have to drop it down to a B minus for that reason. If it weren't for a bug like that, I would say probably B plus, but that drops it down a couple of notches.
All right, and if anybody else wants to give a grade as well.
I'd give it a C. There's really not much in this update that I personally find interesting other than the possibility of getting a six bag later. I'm not much of a skirmisher, so that really wasn't a big draw for me, and I've never been in Fornost.
I would give it a C too. The only thing that interested me in this was the title and the emote. Other than that, I didn't see much use for the update. I exclusively do the end game raids, so, and I didn't see anything except skirmish for us.
Alright, if there's a lot of grades that went off in the chat room, if you guys don't want to share them on voice, that's completely fine. If nobody has anything left to add, then I'll move on to the future of LOTRO Talks, what we're planning to do with LOTRO Talks. Basically, we're planning to obviously do one after every update, but that's not all we're wanting to do. We're also wanting to do them before updates, at least before expansions, as kind of a preview / speculation show of the upcoming update or expansion. And so, much like how, you know, speculation is going on The Hobbit, the way that all the Middle Earth Network places are talking about that, we're going to be doing a similar thing with Riders of Rohan, where it'll just be a speculation show. So yeah, like Bregel says, it'll be like Riddles in the Dark on Ventrilo for Riders of Rohan. Will be the preview show. And that'll probably come up in June sometime. We know that with Rise of Isengard, they released that information around E3, which E3 this year is around June 5th-ish. So we should see some new information about that time, and then we'll probably do an episode a little bit after that once we make sure we know everything. But yeah, like Andy says, E3's next week, and so it should be a pretty quick turnaround to our next update, or to our next update talks, and so it'll probably be 3 weeks from now, assuming the information comes out then. We're also hoping to get different experts on, along with obviously everybody in the chat. We are looking for feedback, any feedback you guys can give us on this. But back to the experts, we're looking to get several people from CSTM and even outside of Casual Stroll to Mordor to talk about these updates, these changes to LOTRO, and basically just have fun talking about what happens to LOTRO and what's going to happen to LOTRO. It's always fun to speculate and to give reviews, that kind of thing. And yeah, we're looking to get several people from everything from like a prediction of the story, what would happen next in the story kind of thing, to even like the lore of the zones. We're looking to get into maybe getting like Shipwreck to talk about the lore of the zones. I mean, stuff like that where we'd just be able to talk about the region and even just learn about the region before we go there. Anyway, thank you all for joining us on Update Talks and live chat, and thank you everybody for listening to this recording. I think it went really well, and I'm going to say goodbye, and if the three hosts will say goodbye as well, that would be great.
Later.
Bye.
Good night.
You've been listening to A Casual Stroll to Mordor. For more information, go to www.casualstrolltomordor.com or visit us on mymiddleearth.com. That's mymiddle-earth.com.